Hello again and welcome to the Referees World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. We do this podcast every Friday and people are listening all over the world, which is great to see. So if you're a new listener to the podcast, thanks very much for finding us and listening to us. You can find us on all major podcast providers online at our website, which is a place to listen as well, at refereesworld.co.uk. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Technical Manager Referees UAE FA, Richard Mellin, who is tanning himself on his day off to do the podcast in the UAE, in Dubai, where the temperature right now, Rich, is
40.
Oh, 40 degrees, 2 degrees hotter than last week's episode.
Actually, no. It's dropped to 39. It's getting late in the day now, so it's gone to 39.
Okay, so just to give you a sense of time and day, it's a Friday afternoon. It's just gone 1 o'clock for me. It's about just gone 4 o'clock for Rich. Now then, let's get crack on. We're going to pick up where we left off on the last episode, which was my assessment for my county league game as part of my promotion. And we're going to do another assessment this time, but this is for a Western League game, which I did a couple of weeks ago. And again, another assessment towards my promotion. So let's go through this one then, Rich, okay?
Yeah, Darren, where should we start as an assistant referee? Because there's more to it rather than just being on the pitch for 90 minutes. You knew about the appointment. When did you make contact with the referee prior to the game?
So the referee contacted us about 3 or 4 days beforehand. Nowadays, it's generally done with a little WhatsApp message, and a WhatsApp group is created, which is great. We love those. And that's kind of how we communicated. You know, hi, guys, let's meet at this time. I want you to wear your tracksuits, and if you could be there at 1:30, and then we can go out and we can do our pre-match and basically have a little bit of catch-up before the game.
Yeah, okay, interesting. It's good to know that the referee contacted you 3 or 4 days before the game. I'd expect that from semi-professional match officials on those games. The thing is, if the referee hadn't contacted you because he's away working or he's been delayed doing something with the family, would you have made contact with him 3 or 4 days before, or would you leave it a couple of more days?
No, I would have. Probably made contact at about 3 days.
Okay. What about a Tuesday night game, Dan? When would you expect contact from the referee? After the Saturday game?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just trying to give our listeners an idea of the expectation and when to make contact. I mean, if you've got a Tuesday night game, there's no point in, I say no point, that's not probably the best description, but focus on the game that's coming up first before you start talking about the game that's behind that in a midweek situation.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so moving on then. Should we crack straight on with the...
Straight into it, come on.
Right, okay, so here we go. Section 1, offside.
Give me a description of the game.
So it was Bridgewater United against Saltash United. My understanding is Saltash United were quite new to the league. I think they came up last season. Bridgewater, as you know, because that's your hometown, solid. They've got a very good reputation within the league as well. They're a mature team. And it was kind of like the new boys against the steady old boys, I suppose it's fair to say.
Yeah. Saltash have been in the Western League previously when I was refereeing a few years ago now. So they're not new to the Western League. They've rejoined the Western League because of the restructuring.
Okay, so let's have a look. First section, offside, performance criteria skill. Concentration levels appropriate to provide accurate advice and judgment. I got above expected for that one. And the comments were, you maintained a good level of concentration and reacted calmly when offering advice for offside. You moved very well to align yourself with the second rearmost defender, which added credibility to the indications made in the 20th, 27th, 56th, 85th and 88th minute. Your signals were sold through your confidence and poise and was generally accepted without question.
So very good.
They were the...
Very good.
They were the...
Okay. Players. How do you practice your assistant referee skills, Darren?
Oh, here we go. Well, up until...
Who we're going to talk about next, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the person is, we're going to talk about...
Mr. Garrett.
Andy Garrett, yeah. So, former referee, former Premiership assistant referee, all-time legend in that role. And this is one of the best bits of advice I've learned over the years, and that's practice in front of the mirror. Practice your hand signals in front of the mirror, and you'll learn from it. You'll learn your pose. You'll get your stature correct. You'll get your techniques correct. So, yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
The thing is about offside decision making, Dad, there's two parts to it in a way. It's the thought process, the recognition, and then the delivery of the signal. And let's talk about active play. It's delivery of the signal. Your work rate to make sure that you've got credible positioning, facing the field of play, always facing the field of play, never turn away to talk to players or spectators.
Can I just mention something here? And this is a really good point to bring this up, because on this particular game, there was somebody behind me at one point, and she was going, excuse me, referee, Lino, excuse me. And I saw what she wanted, because her little child had thrown his little toy ball over the barrier, and it was just close to where I was. And I heard what was going on. So what I did, I didn't turn around to acknowledge. When the ball was down the far end of play, I responded and said, I can hear you shouting me, but I can't do anything until half time. So, or at the end of the game, whatever it was. So, but I didn't take my time. I didn't take my mind off the game. So that was a good point to bring that one up.
How strange is that? We never had that plan, did we?
No. Absolutely. That was a good time to bring that in. Yeah, that's. I learned that one a few years ago, because in the past I have turned around to talk to spectators, people that I've known, and I got told off for doing it. So it's a good learning curve there.
Yeah. The thing about it is, it's not don't talk to the benches. It's don't get distracted by them.
Yeah.
Because there are tactics sometimes that the benches will use to distract the assistant referee to gain an advantage of no flag if it's a tight offside or whatever may be happening.
This wasn't a bench, Rich. This was somebody in the crowd. This was somebody in the stands behind me.
Yeah, but I was trying to get just to football mode rather than somebody in the crowd.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So it's as simple as that. You know, keep your focus on the field of play. But like I say, do speak to people. Don't be mute.
Okay, so next one then. Demonstrates understanding of the laws of the game, particularly active and passive situations. I got expected. Uses time to ensure advice is accurate. Again, was expected. Here's one with comments. Always, this is we're on to section two, performance criteria skill. Always assesses the referee's position and view of events using eye contact and time before offering any advice. For this, I got above expected, and the comments were good eye contact throughout, ensuring there were no contradictory signals. Good example seen in the 25th minute when it appeared that the referee was initially unsure of the direction of a throw-in in the near halfway line following a deflection. He looked for your guidance and you were able to give a directional flag, which he then supported. This shows good teamwork and cooperation with the referee using good eye contact and time.
Well done. Well done. There's a two-way street involving decisions around the halfway line. The referee will lead, or the referee will let you lead. And so consequently, it's being decisive when it's you, when the ball is in your court. And that sounds as though what you were doing on this occasion, because not every time will the referee be able to make that judgment that everybody expects. So the assistant referee with focus and concentration should be able to, you know, help teamwork and provide the correct directional signal, which is apparently what you did here.
Yeah. Okay, next one is demonstrates understanding of the laws of the game by providing correct advice. That was expected. Next one, has the confidence to offer advice when it's required to support the referee's team management of the game. For that one, I got expected as well.
Dad, can I just ask?
Yeah.
Where we're talking about those two last points in the report, did you make any active decisions of penal offences?
No.
That's why you get expected. People are thinking, why is he saying expected? It's because if you're not making any indications of penal offences, waving the flag, agitating the flag, then that's because you made no contribution to that, because the referee detected all those fouls that were necessary. Yeah. Did you ever get tempted to offer the flag for a free kick or not?
I didn't need to, really, because the referee was right on top of the game on pretty much every decision. And there wasn't that many situations that were in my credible area that would warrant me getting involved by using the flag.
That's good. That's good. And like I say, it seems a bit unkind to say expected, but there are things out there that we do that come under that description. They are just expected, and you cannot change that situation. Yeah. Whereas if there were a situation, and we shouldn't perhaps talk about if there were a situation when you were expected to put the flag up and indicate and support teamwork, then it would be listed in the report, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Okay, so next section, section three, is generic skills. Clear signals as shown in the laws of the game and held for an appropriate length of time above expected, and the comments were: you were witnessed making throw-in, goal kick, offside and free kick indications. All were delivered accurately with poise and held for the appropriate length of time, as exampled with the free kick indication in the 47th minute. Correct agitation and then a still direction flag.
Oh.
Oh, hang on. So I did. I did.
There it is.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. So I take back what I said just now. brilliant.
So, agitation. Correct agitation. Small foul, small agitation, but make sure it's agitation.
Yeah.
The bigger the foul, the reckless foul, give it a good rattle as regards agitation. And if it's one of those horrendous challenges, excessive force, serious foul play, et cetera, make sure that you sell the decision for the referee using your flag.
Okay, so I take back what I said just now. Now then, next one. Correctly positioned to make accurate judgments, able to sprint and retain a position to judge with accuracy, providing confidence in the advice offered. For this, above expected, and the comments are: as mentioned earlier, or in 1.1, you aligned yourself with the second rearmost defender when making offside judgments, ensuring all of your decisions were credible. You also displayed the ability to sprint when there were attacking moves during periods of end-to-end play, as exampled in the 78th minute, when keeping credibly positioned alongside the speedy home 11.
Okay. So during the week, Dad, when you haven't got a midweek fixture, what do you do regarding fitness training?
So in the period building up to my fitness test, I concentrated on getting my 12 minutes under my belt in the time that I need to do. But in normal circumstances, I would do at least two runs a week, averaging between 4 and 6 or 7 miles. So that's kind of my training. And as part of that, I'd have a couple of sprints and stuff.
What time?
Sorry?
What duration does that take to do? What sort of timing do you apply to that? An hour?
No. So you're looking at around generally sort of between sort of 35 and 45 minutes. It just depends on what pace I'm pushing at, really. And whoever I'm training with, if we're gassing a lot, then we tend to go a bit slower. But if I'm on my own, it's generally a little bit quicker.
So you go running with Brian Lee a lot then?
I do. Brian and I run quite a lot.
What if I know that?
Right, next one then.
My message is there that if you're getting recognised for your fitness levels as an assistant referee, that's not because you just turn up every Saturday. That's because you're doing some work in between games, isn't it?
Yes. My fitness this year particularly, I've really worked on. And do you know what? I've so benefited now. And I feel better and fitter about myself now as a referee than I ever have done, even though I am considerably older.
Well done, mate. That's good.
Right, okay, next one. Takes up square on position facing the field of play, keeping level with the second rearmost defender when necessary, with effective sideways movement along the touchline, and displays positive body language. I got above expected for that. And comments on this one say, I give you credit in adopting a stance facing the field of play whenever possible, with minor adjustments through crab side movement, as exampled in the 8th, 42 and 55th minute. Facing the field of play afforded you to rapidly judge offside decisions, as exampled in the 20, 27th, 56, 85 and 88th minute, and added poise and credibility to your directional signals, as exampled in 5, 25 and 57 minute. And as I mentioned, it got above expected.
Yeah. The final mark there.
Okay, I've got one more thing. Just one final thing. Display self-control, calm but assertive body language and signalling. That was expected. And then the mark breakdown was 72.50.
That's pretty good.
So
that's pretty good. That's a decent performance, Dad. That, you know, there is an expectation from some people whereby they think for that type of report, for those comments made, the mark should be higher. But the assessor in this occasion is actually marking accurately. Somewhere around about 72.5 up to 73. Maybe if you'd made a couple of more decisions for penal offences, that may have crept up to 73. You know, accurate judgments, tough offside decisions, you know, a key incident involving a penalty. Were you involved? Was it blindsided the referee? Those sort of things bring the mark up a little bit more. And the assessor will recognise that through obviously watching the game and then through his debrief after the game as regards who's making the contribution. The thing I was going to say about flagging for or indicating goal kicks, corner kicks and that, do you actually signal for every one, every goal kick, every corner kick?
Okay, so when it comes to the goal kicks, generally the referees say to me, or they say as part of their pre-match, okay, for the first three goal kicks, go down, just make sure the keeper is not taking the mick, and then you can sort of leave it to your own decision, if you like. I tend to go with all of them. I do that because I would just prefer to be doing something, seem to be doing something. And here's a really good example. My game at the weekend, I needed to be doing it because the keeper kept putting the ball further and further away from the goal line. I had to call him back two or three times because he was a good 6 inches off his line. So I felt that on that day, I made the right decision by making sure that I checked every goal kick.
Yeah, ball's not in the proper correct position. There are people out there that will detect the error before if you don't. And they're not match officials, but as match officials, we should make sure that the ball is in the correct position for the restart. And I'll talk about corner kicks, free kicks, goal kicks. Free kicks are a little bit more flexible, but you know, you can't put it on the blade of grass with a free kick. But for corner kicks, it's quite easy. Goal kicks, it's quite easy. You know, so just do the basics. And like I say, for me, if I talk about the basics, I always talk about let's keep things simple here. Let's not be pedantic, but let's keep things simple and use the opportunity because every game is a learning game. Whoever you think you may be, there are challenges out there. And during any one game, we're only ever one tackle away from, you know, things going completely pear-shaped. So let's just keep our focus and concentration. Keep it simple. Focus on the game. Hopefully we can bring everything to a safe conclusion. And on the two reports that we've discussed over the last two podcasts, it certainly seems like you've got your game in a good place at the moment. And your challenge is to deliver that consistency. And that's not just for you, but for all those listeners out there that are trying to deliver a performance that satisfies everybody and including satisfaction for yourself, you know, self-analysis. Hopefully everybody can achieve that.
Excellent. Well, there you go. Hopefully there's another episode of the Referees World podcast that you can learn some tips from and take into your game and hopefully help you with your referee progression. We are the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And don't forget, you can post and share. You can go to the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk. And if you've got anything you want to discuss, then please, we'd love to hear from you. We will respond. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and people are listening to us all over the place, which is great. And if you are listening somewhere other than in the UK, then by all means, get in touch. Let us know what's going on so that we can find out a bit more about refereeing where you are in the world right now. But until the next time, thanks very much for listening.